Well, we're going to come back to the book of Proverbs. We've been on a couple of month hiatus in our study in Proverbs. We'll come back for several weeks and finish this up. And we'll be starting in chapter 12 of Proverbs this morning, if you want to go ahead and find your place. Got a whole bunch of scriptures I'm going to refer you to. I've tried to kind of organize them so there's not a ton of page turning, but I hope you'll stay with us as we go through this. People tend to get very, very creative when they're trying to get out of doing something. People have called in sick from work for all kinds of reasons. One person, it's recorded, said he had been sitting in the bathroom too long and his legs fell asleep and he broke his ankle when he got up, so he couldn't come to work. Another person had said they accidentally got on an airplane so they wouldn't be at work that day. All kinds of creativity that can go on. Another person said they were stuck in the blood pressure machine at the grocery stores. They weren't going to be able to get into work that day. We have in the United States, I think, an unhealthy perspective on work. This is a subject that Solomon spends a lot of time talking about in the book of Proverbs, and it's our work ethic, but it's bigger than that. It's our whole perspective on life. It's the whole way we pursue and approach things, and so we're going to be talking about that this morning. Too many times in the United States, anyway, we have developed the idea that work is a necessary evil until we get to the place where we don't have to anymore. And nothing could be further from the truth. God intended for us to be productive, to stay active, and to pursue the well-being of our society and our community and our families as long as we're able. You know, at the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, the first thing God did was give His first creation, Adam and Eve, a job to do. I don't know what that could have been in a perfect environment like the Garden of Eden, but he said, you are to tend this garden. And so they had chores to do. It wasn't an evil, it was a gift. And we need to consider that's what God has for us and the ultimate opportunity to honor Him by the way we go about our lives, and even the most minute tasks that we might have. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll dive in. Father, I just ask that you would direct our thoughts, our minds, help us to see what you have for us. As every day you give us certain things to accomplish. May our attitudes about those things be pleasing to you. May we honor you in the way that we conduct our lives. And I pray that you would just direct our thoughts as we run through this topic here in Proverbs today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I said, a lot of different scriptures we're going to be looking at, and they don't require a lot of commentary. They speak for themselves to a great degree, and a lot of them are colorful. Solomon's very descriptive in the things that he wrote. But the first thing that we're going to consider is some rewards of a strong work ethic. And as I said, we start in chapter 12. And the first thing that we will consider is sufficient income to provide for ourselves, our families, our community, our church. Chapter 12, verse 11 says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. And so there's a diligence that's being described here. Now, it was an agrarian economy mostly, so that's what a lot of the illustrations are. If it were a white-collar society, there would be different kinds of illustrations. But a lot of the discussion is around farming and livestock. And he says it so clearly here that if you work your land, you will have plenty of bread. You can't just look at a piece of land and hope that it's going to take care of itself. There's effort that's got to go into it. There's got to be planting. There's got to be cultivating. If you have that capacity, watering. There's got to be harvesting. Elsewhere, he says you need to be diligent to know the condition of your flocks. You can't just pretend. You can't just ignore. There's a responsibility that goes into it. And that good work ethic makes so that you will have sufficient income to provide for yourself and your family, and your community. You have enough to share with other people that have need. There's another one here in chapter 12, just the satisfaction of doing a job and doing it well. Verse 14 of chapter 12. From the fruit of his mouth, a man is satisfied with good, and the work of a man's hand comes back to him. So there's a reward here. Just by doing a good job, if it's a digging a hole, it's having done it to completion. And there's a reward from that. There's a satisfaction from looking back at a job that you've done and that you've put yourself into and just being satisfied. There's a relief and a joy that comes from it. I was reminded a house that Debbie and I had purchased previously was a true fixer-upper. From everything in the house got worked on at one point in time. And I remember an evening where I finished putting casing around a door and drove that last nail and stepped back and looked. And then I looked at Debbie and I said, "Are we done? I think we're done. We're done." It had been a long time coming, but it was just this, and it wasn't, I'm not a cabinet maker, but it was good. And there was a reward to that. He says, the work of your hands comes back to you. It's a pleasing thing. And so there's a satisfaction. There's also the reward of additional responsibility. Now, some personality types, and nothing wrong with it, some personality types just want to do a job, kind of fly under the radar, and that's it. But a lot of people enjoy getting more responsibility. And he speaks to that in verse 24, where he says, the hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent will rule. Employers see productivity, and that says profit. And they many times will reward a person by giving them more responsibility. I worked a lot of different jobs when I was younger, and I found something out. And I'd grown up Midwest in a pretty positive work ethic, but nothing extraordinary to show up on time, do the job that is before you, and it seems to stand out from many who don't have that. And it was recognized. I saw that happen a number of times. So more responsibility is also a reward of a strong work ethic. Now, Solomon writes a lot about recognizing a poor work ethic, and many, many different references to that. And he typically responds to it as laziness. He'll use slothfulness or the sluggard. when he describes this. And again, many colorful descriptions. Now, this is not the time to be mentally thinking about the person next to you. This is the time you just look within and you say, okay, what's God saying to me? But just a number of different characteristics of a poor work ethic. We'll start with irresponsibility. There is an irresponsibility that goes with it, just not being willing to fulfill a task. In chapter 10, in verse 26, it says, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. So the scenario here is that someone has been given a job to do, a message maybe to deliver, and they just don't fulfill it. They don't finish the job. They do it halfway. Now, I don't quite get the vinegar to the teeth quite as much as the smoke to the eyes. That one I get pretty well. I've sat around a lot of campfires over the years, and it doesn't matter where you sit, the smoke finds you, right? You move and the wind shifts. It's just the way it is, and it's never a pleasant thing. If smoke gets in your eyes water, and you cough and all those kinds of things. And he uses that analogy of unpleasantness as someone who doesn't do the job they're given to do. Just either their heart's not in it, or it's a halfway job, or they say good enough for who it's for, or just not doing it at all. And so this is one of those characteristics. The inability to prioritize is another one. In chapter 12, verse 11, we read earlier, but again, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. So the contrast is the diligent and working, doing the right tasks in the right orders, and some just can't prioritize. You know, it's like the persons that's been given the care of Hoover Dam, and there's a huge crack, and it's beginning to leak, and they say, I think I'll mow the lawn first. You know, just the inability to put things in their proper order. And sometimes that has to be learned. But he likens it here to just someone that really doesn't care very much. Poor work ethic. Being wasteful. Chapter 12, verse 27. It says, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. And so an individual knows that his family needs this provision and goes out for the hunt and actually is successful, but then looks at that critter and says, you know what, cleaning that takes so much time, be so much work, preparing it, cooking it, and so they just leave it late. And that's a wastefulness that he is describing here. Now, there's an old saying here, and they're going to have to change it after a while because they're not going to make pennies anymore. But if you take care of the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. That's been an old saying. Do the little things. Do them right. Do them well. And the big things will just kind of naturally fall into place. Don't be wasteful. And we are a wasteful society. Everything's disposable. Everything's, you know, throwaway. And we'll be having our game feed here pretty soon, and we will admonish everybody, take what you want, but eat what you take. We watch great platefuls of food being dumped in the trash every year. Don't be wasteful. That is a characteristic of a poor work ethic. A sheer lack of ambition. Chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. craving, wanting, but getting nothing because they don't have the ambition to get up and do. And that, again, is becoming more and more of a problem in these United States. We're creating a society that doesn't want to work and rewards people for not working. But there's some ambition that's got to be there. Things don't just happen. We can sit and live in the land of want and if and maybe and wish. At some point, you got to get up and do. You got to get up and try. Lack of ambition is in there. Right along with that is seeing only obstacles first. In chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, "The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway." So this one who lacks ambition, who really doesn't want to provide for themselves, everything is an obstacle. He likens it to a hedge of thorns. If I move, I'm going to get poked. If I do anything, there's going to be an obstacle. And instead of seeing opportunities, some people just see obstacles. Well, I would, but, or I think this, but I can't because of all the problems that are associated with it. Now, he likens it to the upright. There's a level highway, and it's not level. There's lots of ups and downs, but it's the whole outlook. This person is one who sees opportunity, not obstacles, and is willing to put themselves out to do it. That's that strong work ethic. They become skilled with their excuses. Again, very creative with excuses. If you look at chapter 22, verse 13, the sluggard says, "There's a lion outside. I shall be killed in the streets. So I just better stay in. I better stay at home. There's a lion out there." I have tried this one with my wife when I don't feel like going for our daily walk. "I don't know, there's a lion. There might be a lion out there. I don't think we should go." She's never bought it. She never bought it. Probably never will. But, you know, just making up excuses as to why I shouldn't do something. Sooner or later, the excuses have got to stop. We've just got to apply ourselves and do what's ahead of us. The one that has a poor work ethic seems to have a love affair with sleep. Chapter 26. And again, one of these very, very descriptive kinds of verses that Solomon writes about here. Chapter 26, verse 14. "As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed." So you can draw your own pictures here. The door turns. Just one more. One more snooze. One more. Yeah, I'll just turn over, go back to sleep. That whole thing, just this love affair. Now, people, listen. We're not to be driven. Work is not to control our lives. Rest is good. Taking the string off the bow is good, but this is taking it to that extreme. We just don't want to get up and do anything. Sleep, sleep, sleep. Love affair with sleep. And then might be a know-it-all. Chapter 26, verse 16. "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly." He's just describing a person you can't tell anything to. Not teachable, won't listen, won't respond. You already know it all, so you know just don't even try. And there again, you know, we probably all know somebody that this is not to shove off on somebody else, to apply it to ourselves. But those are some of the things the book of Proverbs describes as a poor work ethic. Now, we looked at some of the rewards of a strong ethic. Here are some of the results of a poor work ethic. We start in chapter 6, and that is a lack of income, where we had looked at a good work ethic. You have sufficient income. Chapter 6, and I'm going to back up to verse 6. We looked at this passage before when we were on a nature walk. He says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer, gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." And so a lack of income. Now, I've said on different occasions, one of the most difficult parts of my job over the years has been get a constant request for assistance and trying to determine what is legitimate and what is not. You know, and the Word of God is strong, harsh sounding even. Paul said in the New Testament, if a person doesn't work, they don't need to eat. Now, there's times when we as a family of God need to come alongside someone who's really in a world of hurt, but people who refuse to work, there's a price to be paid for that. And he is reminding us, this is what's going to happen if we will not apply ourselves. There's also a disrespect that can go with it. And in chapter 10, verse 5, we read things like, "He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." We can earn a reputation that is not a good reputation. If we get a reputation of shirking or sloppiness or whatever. And he's not describing here that in harvest you're never supposed to sleep. I'm one who thinks that lights on heavy equipment weren't necessarily a good thing we could do for ourselves. Before, we might have worked from can see to can't see, but now we work 24 hours a day, and that's not healthy. I don't believe that's healthy. But here's a guy. It's in the middle of corn harvest. He says, I think I'm going to take a vacation now. I want some time off. I want to do this. I want to do that. And you get that kind of a reputation. He said it brings shame. And so there's a disrespect that goes with that. We looked at that in verse 26 already. Vinegar to the teeth, smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those who send him. You just get this kind of a reputation. There's also this fact that we can actually become a detriment. In chapter 18 and verse 9, it says, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." So if we're not responsible, if we're doing a job halfway, partway, if we're not doing it at all, he says we are then closely related to the one who is actually going out there trying to tear down, trying to destroy. We can become a detriment if we're not being faithful. And so just being committed to that which we've got to do for responsibilities is a big, big thing. And so just a few results of a poor work ethic. A few things just to think about as we work through this. See a purpose in your work. God has something for you in it. You may not like it all that much, might not be your favorite thing, might not be the thing you want to do very much longer, but find a purpose in it. Even in the most minute things, we're told, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of God. He can be seen in you and through you by being diligent in the tasks that he's given to you. Find some contentment there. Doing a good job, whatever it is, even if it's the most mind-numbing thing it is, doing a good job at it still can bring that satisfaction. I did what was given to me to do. I fulfilled my obligations, my responsibilities. And so, third, just be faithful. Be faithful in what God has given you to do. Again, you may not want to do it very long, but while you're doing it, do it well. Do it so that he could say, well done, good and faithful servant. We have an opportunity through our fulfilling our tasks, whatever they are, we have an opportunity to glorify our God. Sometimes we need a fresh perspective on things. I came across an article. This bit of paperwork was found in an office building in London. It was dated 1852. So if you're feeling overworked, overregulated, underleisured, whatever. Number one, it said, this firm has reduced the hours of work and the clerical staff will now only have to be present between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. on weekdays. Number two, clothing must be of a sober nature. The clerical staff will not disport themselves in raiment of bright colors, nor will they wear hose unless in good repair. Number three, a stove is provided for the benefit of the clerical staff. Coal and wood must be kept in the locker. It is recommended that each member of the clerical staff bring 4 pounds of coal each day during the cold weather. Number four, no talking is allowed during business hours. Number five, now that the hours of business have been drastically reduced, the partaking of food is allowed between 11:30 and noon, but work will not on any account cease. Number six, members of the clerical staff will provide their own pens, must be feather pens. A new sharpener is available on application to the supervisor. And number seven, the owners recognize the generosity of the new labor laws, but we'll expect a great rise in output of work to compensate for these near utopian conditions. So maybe you don't have it that bad after all. You know, Martin Luther once wrote years ago, the maid who sweeps her kitchen is doing the will of God just as much as the monk who prays. Not because she may sing a Christian hymn as she sweeps, but because God loves clean floors. The Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. So we have a simple, nonverbal, yet very, very powerful way of bringing glory to God, just being faithful to whatever it is he's given us to do. Let him have his way in your tasks. Let's pray. Our Lord, we live in the Midwest. There's such a thing as the Midwestern work ethic, and yet we can grow casual. We can develop a mindset of it's good enough. Help us not to. Help us to see that the even the tiniest things that we do can reflect on you, will reflect on you, either good or bad. May we live for your glory in whatever you give us to do. You have saved us by the Lord Jesus Christ for a very specific purpose. And I pray that we'd live for that. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.